You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Off the tee in that tournament. Talked to him a bit ago, and he doesn't want to discuss his round, so I will not pass on how Scott did today, but we wish him the best tomorrow in the second round. I'm joined today by Todd Brommelkamp, a familiar and popular figure after our show from 4 to 6, the Todd Brommelkamp show with Alex Kuhn. Our producer Ben is off today, and Todd, being about the only one left in the building able to run the board back in the studio on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids, graciously is sitting in. And I don't want to introduce Todd as a producer. He's much more than that, but at any rate, thanks for helping out today, Todd.
Yeah, first off, can we just go with familiar? I don't know about familiar and popular. I'm more comfortable with familiar.
That's for others to judge, but I think you are. Thanks for helping out today.
You drive, and I will see if we can navigate. How about that?
That sounds great. Appreciate that. We are brought to you today and every day, presented by DuPaco Community Credit Union. Learn how you can boost your financial well-being by going to DuPaco.com, DuPaco.com. Lots for you today. In the back half of the hour, we're going to have we'll call it an encore presentation of an interview that Scott and I did earlier in this week with college football guru Phil Steele. We felt it was a good segment because Phil was on. Phil is a fountain of knowledge on college football. Of course, you can go to the podcast at kgymradio.com, but we thought it would be worthwhile re-airing that. It'll come in the back half of the hour. We'll have an email scoreboard update for you towards the bottom of the hour. A little bit of Olympics. A little bit of talk about two Hawkeyes that are going into the college or professional football Hall of Fame this weekend. And this is the last day that you can win tickets to an Iowa State Fair show coming up later this month. It's called Last Pair Standing. And we are literally down to the last two pair of tickets. The Boys to Men, Sticks, and Doobie Brothers tickets have been exhausted, claimed. We have two sets of tickets to the Beach Boys with special guests Hanson and John Stamos. And we'll give away a pair, and Todd and Alex will do the same during their show. So stay tuned for that. In about 20 minutes or so, we'll give you a chance to win those tickets to the Beach Boys. In terms of the Olympics, it's almost daybreak in Tokyo. Daybreak Saturday morning as the Summer Olympics are coming to a close, but a lot of great action still in store. Not so long ago, if you missed it, you need to look up the video somewhere, somehow, of American heavyweight Gable Stevenson in his gold medal match against a Georgian wrestler. That's the Georgia, the country. And it was phenomenal. I will tell you that Stevenson ended up winning the gold medal after trailing 8-5 with less than a minute remaining. He got a winning takedown with, I think it was like 2 or 3 seconds remaining. It was just a thrilling match, and I think probably the highlight in the last 24 hours for me anyway. Of course, yesterday, Thomas Gilman, former Hawkeye, claimed a bronze medal, the 10th former Hawkeye to do so. David Taylor out of Penn State also claimed gold. The Americans have done very well on both the men's and women's side in the Olympics. Still coming up, the United States men's and women's basketball programs trying to claim gold. Both have done very well. It is the subject of our poll question today at kgymradio.com, brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement, Steve Anderson and his crew in Iowa City, supporting us and doing great work in that field since 2003. The poll question is, will the United States win a gold medal in both men's and women's basketball? Go ahead and vote at KGYMRadio.com. Or you can weigh in, as always, on our text line, 319-366-1600. Welcome your thoughts, and look forward to interacting with you. Coming up tomorrow is the first of 2 days of inductions into the Professional Football Hall of Fame. And it's 2 days because last year's ceremony was canceled because of COVID. So tomorrow, the 2020 class will be inducted. And then on Sunday, the 2021 class. Of course, the festivities got kicked off last night in a superiorly boring football game when we knew it would be. Pittsburgh coming away with a 16-3 win over the Dallas Cowboys, a game in which hardly any starters played at all. So, but the Hall of Fame ceremony is coming up this weekend. Two Hawkeyes, Duke Slater and Alex Karras, are going in as part of the centennial class that, again, was going to be inducted last year, but they will be honored this year. Slater and Karras are the fourth and fifth former Hawkeyes to be inducted into the Hall of Fame, following Emlyn Tennell, Paul Krause, and Andre Tippett. Two very different men in Duke Slater and Alex Karras. They played years apart. One was black, one was white, came from different backgrounds. Slater, born in Illinois, grew up in Clinton as a teenager. Karras out of Gary, Indiana. And both excelled to a very high level, not only at the University of Iowa, but in the NFL. In terms of Duke Slater, my only question is, what took so long? He played a century ago, finishing up his Iowa career in 1921, and then went on to the NFL, becoming the first black lineman in professional football. Now, the College Football Hall of Fame took him in its inaugural class in 1951. But it isn't until now that Duke Slater is being taken into the Hall of Fame on the professional level. And again, what took so long? 319-366-1600. Slater not only was a phenomenal football player, but he went on to become a judge in Chicago, a renowned one at that, and just a decorated career, both athletically and professionally. Why it took so long, I don't know, but at least Slater is going to get his due tomorrow. Alex Karras, on the other hand, again, quite a different figure. And perhaps he was not taken into the Hall of Fame because he got hooked up in a gambling thing back in 1963, I think, in which Paul Hornung. Those two were banned from the NFL for a year for being at least affiliated, if not gambling, on professional football games. I think we know they both gambled on NFL games back then, but perhaps that has kept Alex Karras out of the Hall of Fame all these years. He had a terrific NFL career, and many know him more for his television and movie roles. Babe, Blazing Saddles, so on and so forth. Webster on television. He carved out a very nice career there as well. As far as Slater goes, we do know now that Kinnick Stadium, this coming year is going to be known as, and going forward, it's going to be known as Slater Field at Kinnick Stadium. That idea introduced and passed by the Board of Regents not so long ago. And I guess in that regard, too, what took so long? Kinnick Stadium, Iowa Stadium, was renamed Kinnick Stadium in 1972. And the man who hired me at the Gazette, Gus Schrader, was pretty instrumental in the movement to name the stadium after Kinnick, the 1939 Heisman Trophy winner. Gus started his crusade when he was at the Daily Iowan and continued that as he joined the Gazette. And with State Representative Ivor Stanley, among others, kind of spearheaded this effort to name the stadium after Kinnick. There were those, including President Willard Boyd, who wanted to name it Kinnick-Slater Stadium. As the story goes, the committee that was going to give thumbs up or thumbs down to this didn't like the hyphenated version of the stadium. So it became Kinnick Stadium, and a residence hall not too far from the stadium was named after Slater, Slater Hall. And I believe there's a statue somewhere near that building, perhaps on the property of Slater, Duke Slater. But that it was a compromise back then. Right now, I feel it's just it's a long time coming to honor Duke Slater and for what he did, not only for Iowa, but in his professional career. And that will happen. I'm anxious to take a look at what they come up with in the stenciling at Kinnick Stadium. What's that going to look like? And we're going to find out in about 3 weeks as the college football season is nearing. So I guess, congratulations to Duke Slater and Alex Karras. We've known about this for some time, but tomorrow is their day as part of the centennial class of the Professional Football Hall of Fame. I think overdue for both. And coming up Sunday will be the 2021 class. I don't have that list in front of me, but they're always terrific classes. And you can catch that over the weekend. Again, coming up, we're going to have an interview, an encore presentation with Phil Steele, college football guru, whose magazine is out. You'll find out that there's a digital version available as well that will be updated throughout the college football season. And again, a chance for someone to win a pair of tickets to the Beach Boys concert. That coming up Tuesday, August 17th at the Iowa State Fair. Todd, I want to bring you in on this a little bit, but I was thinking about the dog days of summer that is often referred to in Major League Baseball, and we were into it. This is August 6th, isn't it? Yeah, August 6th. And I was thinking it means different things to different teams. If you're in the thick of a race, I mean, you hope to be healthy, put a quality lineup out there every day, compete as the White Sox are right now against the Chicago Cubs. I'm watching that as we speak. But for the Cubs and many other teams, including my Twins, it means something different. We know about the trades that the Cubs made. We know about injuries. I found out today the Cubs have set an all-time organizational record. They have played 57 players this year. And I don't think some teams are that far behind. I guess to me, for teams like the Cubs and the Twins and many others, and I looked at the lineup today, Todd, you know the Cubs as well as anybody, but I couldn't recognize a couple, three of the players.
I don't know these guys, Mark.
Don't you? I mean, this is what it's come to for the Cubs and many other teams. But I do think, Todd, it's an opportunity for these guys and others to show what they have, whether it be to the Cubs or another team.
Yeah, it's an opportunity to get some exposure if you're a prospect. Greg Dykeman, who came over in the Andrew Chafin deal, is making his big league debut today. Got a base hit in his first at-bat. There's Frank Schwindel, who's getting a chance to show that he can be an everyday major leaguer or not an everyday major leaguer, but he's getting that opportunity because they don't have anybody else to play first base with Anthony Rizzo gone. So for the teams like yours and mine that are sort of out of things at this point, that's really what it's all about right now, is getting a look at some of these younger players and trying to figure out, can you move forward with them next year, or can you move on from them in the offseason? And that's about it. And that's a hard sell. You don't want to sit and watch a 3.5-hour game just to get a look at a rookie right fielder.
No, imagine if you had purchased tickets a couple months ago to this game, Todd. The Cubs-White Sox premier game. This was before all the trades. And you show up today and look at the lineup. I didn't sign up for this.
Well, my advice to you would have been, that's on you. Because I think most people saw this coming. We're now in the place in time where it's been a decade, but I bet you can go get pretty decent tickets for a fair price right outside the stadium before the game starts. We're back in that era again.
I bet so too. But good news, I guess, for some in Chicago, it appears there's going to be a sports book next to Wrigley Field. Is that right? It needs to jump through a couple, three more hoops yet, but this looks like it's coming, huh?
It was unanimously approved yesterday by the city council. As I understand it, DraftKings will be the sponsor, so there's a boatload of cash that is likely involved in this because it'll be a partnership. And Illinois has legalized sports betting, as does Iowa, so this is going to be an opportunity for all those tourists who come to Wrigley Field every year. I'm sure you can stop in and grab a beer and maybe place a ticket on the game before the start or during the game or whatever. And another revenue opportunity for an ownership group that doesn't seem all that set on putting the revenue back into the team. So excited.
Now, I'm not entirely familiar with Wrigley. This is the proposal is located at Addison and Sheffield. Now, if I'm looking from home plate, where would that be?
I believe that is in left field, Addison okay. And Sheffield, or right field. I'm trying to get my bearings on the street. They don't have a whole lot of real estate, so it's got to be, I think it's in left field.
John on the text line about the Chicago Cubs, 319-366-1600. And why are they putting Ian Happ batting third? That tells me they want to lose games.
Well, if you
look at the lineup, John, they don't have many other options.
They don't want to win games. If they wanted to win games, they wouldn't be putting this lineup out there. The problem is, I think the Orioles have them by about 15 games right now for that number one overall pick. So you lose and maybe you get the 10th pick, 9th pick in the draft. It's not like the NBA or the NFL, where if you get a top draft pick, he's going to help you immediately. But yeah, the idea of they're trying to win these games, that left the station a while ago.
Yeah, and the Cubs aren't alone. I don't want to be the one to pick on the Cubs because I'm watching my Twins and you got guys like Ref Schneider and Larnach and right on up and down the line that have been inserted in the lineup, some because of injuries to guys like Buxton and others. But once again, it's an opportunity for these guys to say, hey, I belong. I belong on a major league roster, and I want to be here again next year, or if not, impress another team. So we do have that, and thanks for the comments, Todd. I knew you would be on top of that, but
I'm watching just as you are right now, trying to figure out who some of these guys are, Mark.
Well, let's get to an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard. It's brought to you by Emil's out there on Glenbrook Drive, next to Home Depot, and behind Taco John's. Great food, great drinks out there. Jamie, Chris, Nate, and others operating Emil's Hideaway. It is open every evening, Monday through Saturday. They also offer online ordering, curbside carryout, and delivery at emilshideaway.com. Right now, the only afternoon game in Major League Baseball is that game between the Chicago Cubs and Chicago White Sox. And right now, the Sox have a 2-0 lead behind Lance Lynn. Hendricks pitching generally pretty good, but not good enough. The White Sox leading 2-0 in the fifth inning. Everything else under the lights tonight, including Minnesota and Houston, which will lock up 6:30 on 107.5 FM tonight. Also on the scoreboard, former Iowa wide receiver, all-time great, Marvin McNutt has joined the football coaching staff at Coe College. Yeah, my alma mater. I'm pretty happy about this. He will be the wide receiver coach for the Cohawks. Trey Campbell out of Cedar Falls High School has announced his commitment to stay in town and play for Ben Jacobson and the Northern Iowa Panthers. Campbell, a 6'4 guard, committed today. He will become the fourth Cedar Falls High School project on that roster, the star of that group being A.J. Green. So that's your Emo scoreboard for today. We'll give you updates on the Sox and Cubs a little bit later, but we are going to hear an encore presentation of Phil Steele that Scott and I did earlier in the week. But first, Todd, we want to give away one of the two. We've got two pair of tickets remaining, one on our show, one on yours, to the Beach Boys with special guests Hanson and John Stamos. That concert at the State Fair in Des Moines coming up Tuesday, August 17th at 8 p.m. So, Todd, let's take caller 5 today.
All right. And
that caller will win tickets to the Beach Boys, all right?
Sounds like a plan. Let's do that right now.
All right, sounds good. We'll be back with Phil Steele after this.
Score a major payday with BetMGM. It's the best time to sign up for the King of Sportsbooks because they're giving new customers a shot at an easy $100. Register using code HANSON100, H-A-N-S-O-N 100, and win $100 in free bets when you place a $1 moneyline wager on the Dodgers or Angels and either team hits a home run, regardless of your bet's outcome. Whether you're raising the stakes on baseball or wagering on your favorite soccer team, BetMGM is always ready for action. Enjoy innovative parlay selection builders, daily promotions, boosted odds specials, and more. Download the app or go to BetMGM.com and use code HANSON100, Hanson with an O, to win $100 when you bet $1 on the Dodgers or Angels and either team hits a home run. Only at BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. New customer offer, paid in free bets. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older, Iowa only. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
When we first moved to town, I inquired about banks in the area that were very customer-friendly and family-focused, and I was referred to Midwest One Bank.
We're talking with Dr. Azeem Ahmed about Midwest One Bank.
I love the fact that Midwest One Bank hangs on to our mortgage. It allows us to feel that we're banking locally.
Midwest One Bank has a variety of home loan programs for local mortgage service.
Midwest One Bank really simplified it for us. Midwest One Bank is definitely part of the community. They truly are invested in the community.
Midwest One Bank is simply better banking. Member FDIC, equal housing lender, loan subject to credit approval.
I've got some fame. Chris Young, Famous Friends Tour 2021. I'm coming over, running every race. Friday, November 19th at the Extreme Arena with special guest Mitchell Tenpenny. And Calista Clark. Tickets are on sale now at the venue box office and extremearena.com. Chris Young. I was raised on world, raised on Friday, November 19th at the Extreme Arena. Produced by Pepper Entertainment and Outback Presents. I was raised on
country. We're in this together, and we will get through this together. The vaccines are tested effective and needed.
Welcome to the clinic with Charm.
Get your COVID-19 vaccine so we can do this. And this. And this.
We are now boarding flight.
Together again, because we got through it together.
This message, sponsored by the Helmsley Charitable Trust, aired with the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
Tune into the gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn for Drive Time, driven by Lender Tire.
Back with you on the Gym Class here at KGYM. Great to have you with us on this Tuesday, a beautiful day here in eastern Iowa. Just a little bit more than a month, or right around a month away from the football season getting underway. And we welcome in, we figured it out beforehand, for the 15th smash year consecutively, Phil Steele joining us. And, of course, Phil Steele's College Football Preview 2021 is out on the newsstands, and the Bible as far as college football is concerned. And Phil, a lot of blood, sweat, and tears goes into putting out the publication each and every year, but it's a labor of love, certainly, isn't it?
It absolutely is. And first of all, I'd like to thank you guys for having me on 15 years ago. The magazine wasn't as big then as it is today. And so I appreciate you bringing me on 15 years ago, and I've enjoyed doing the show with you each year since. The magazine, though, I tell you what, guys, a lot funner to put out this year than last year. Last year we were wondering if we're playing football. Then they changed all the schedules. Teams are canceling seasons, bringing them back. It's so nice that we're going to have fans in the stands. We're going to have a regular schedule and a regular football season. I'm pretty pumped about this year.
I am too. I am too. And let's get to right before we even talk about Big Ten, Big 12, Iowa State, the country, what have you. The big headlines, of course, in the last couple of weeks deal with Oklahoma and Texas and the SEC. And I guess your thoughts about it. Are we on the verge of super conferences? Are we on the verge of the Power Five going and breaking away from the NCAA? What does this all mean, or are we not going to know for a few years?
Yeah, I don't think we're going to know. Maybe Greg Sankey knows, but I don't know right now where we're headed. I didn't know anything about Texas and Oklahoma until a couple of weeks ago. But I've always, for the last 3 years, I've been saying we're headed to four 16-team super conferences, and if the SEC stops adding teams now, that's probably where we're headed. But we'll have to see how it plays out. I don't think anybody really knows where it's going.
Phil, let's start with Iowa, and predictions are all over the board. Strengths, weaknesses, and what you expect out of the Hawkeyes?
Well, the Hawkeyes are a legitimate Big Ten contender this year. And, as far as the strengths go, I think you have to take a look almost across the board. I have almost every position ranked in my top positions in the front of the magazine. The running back core, very solid with Tyler Goodson and Ivory Kelly Martin. You look at the receiving core with Tyrone Tracy and Sam Laporta at tight end, Nico Reganey. The offensive line has the best center in the country in Tyler Lindebaum. And while they lose their left tackle from last year, plenty of experience back on the O-line. And defensively, this was a unit that was really strong last year. I like Zach Van Valkenburg at the defensive end spot. The linebackers, Jack Campbell, Dane Belton, and then how about the secondary? All four guys, I think, could be NFL caliber. So it's your typical great Iowa defense, a solid run game, solid offensive line. I think you're going to get better play out of Spencer Petras this year, at least a better statistical play last year. He's a guy that didn't take a lot of chances, only had five interceptions, but I think he'll be improved. And then how about the special teams? I rate the special teams number four in the entire country. That's always been a strength under Coach Ferentz. The best strength overall, I think, for the team is the head man, Coach Ferentz. And, you know, it's too bad last year for Iowa that they didn't get to play against Michigan and Missouri, because I think they would have beaten both teams and beaten them soundly like they were beating most of their opponents and probably finished even higher in the polls.
Yeah, and as far as the Iowa Hawkeyes are concerned, they have been a team that hasn't gotten off to great starts, but they start this year, the Hawkeyes do, with the conference game. Indiana and at Iowa State, there's not a lot of teams with a tougher first 2 weeks than the Iowa Hawkeyes are facing.
Yeah, and don't discount that Kent State game either. Kent State averaged about 50 points per game last year. They have a very explosive offense. One of the more underrated quarterbacks in the country in Dustin Crum. And last year they put up 49.8 points per game and 607 yards per game. So that is going to be a dangerous game as well. But you touched on Indiana. I think it's Tom Allen's best team yet. They finally broke down the door last year and then knocked off three ranked teams after coming close against the big boys. And Iowa State, I'm sure we'll be talking about that team pretty shortly, but yeah, they are a legitimate national title contender this year.
Where do you have Iowa ranking in the West? A lot of people have number two alongside Wisconsin. How about you?
Yeah, I have them second in the West. I think the key to me ranking them second as opposed to first is the fact they have to travel to Madison and play Wisconsin on the road. And Wisconsin, by the way, is my number two surprise team in the country, or a non-top 10 team that I think has a shot at making the playoff. When you look at Wisconsin last year, they only averaged 3.9 yards per carry, which is atypical for them. They usually average 5 or 6 yards a carry. They've got the big veteran offensive line. Last year, they didn't really have that feature running back. Jalen Berger sort of emerged as the season went on. He was the lone VHT that they had planned for him last year. This year, they have four what I call VHT running backs, are very highly touted. They also have a quarterback in Graham Mertz that last year hit 20 of 21 passes against Illinois, but then got COVID, missed a couple weeks of practice, and wasn't really the same down the stretch. I think he'll be one of the better QBs in the country. They've got their usual top-notch defense, and then their schedule far better than Iowa's because they have four Big Ten road games this year, but they're all against teams that had losing records last year: Illinois, Purdue, Rutgers, and Minnesota. And I feel this year, guys, home field advantage is going to be maybe the best it's been the last decade, maybe even more than that, because fans weren't allowed to go to the games last year. There's a lot of pent-up excitement, and I think they'll come back to the stadiums. We're going to see an increase in attendance over 2019, one of the biggest attendance increases, and some very loud fans. So I think Wisconsin's laid out their schedule where they could potentially be favored in all 12 games.
Mm. How about the rest of the West, as far as the Big Ten is concerned? You mentioned Iowa, Wisconsin, not in that order at the top. Is there a surprise team that you have pegged this year?
I would have to say if I was looking for a surprise, I think Purdue might have that ability. The last 2 years they've had some off years, but they got nine starters back on offense, nine on defense. They're picked sixth in the West by everybody, as they showed a couple years ago when they jumped up and beat Ohio State. They're capable of pulling the upset if they get the quarterback play that they need. My picks for the rest of the West, I think you're looking at a Northwestern, which, you know, they're one of the rare teams in college football this year that only has eight returning starters. Almost everybody has got 15, 16, 17 returning starters. But Coach Fitzgerald said, go ahead, pick us low. We'll show you. He feels very confident about this year's team, especially with Ryan Helinski coming in at quarterback and battling Hunter Johnson. The pressure's on Scott Frost for Nebraska. He needs to have a winning season. I mean, yeah, you're hailing the hero returning home, but three straight losing seasons, I think a fourth straight season on the bottom part of the 500 ledger would have him maybe out the door. And then P.J. Fleck will have an improved Minnesota team. They're one of the most experienced teams in the country. 10 starters back, both offense and defense. And then don't discount Brett Bielema. You know, 2 years ago when I talked to Lovie Smith, or last year I should say when I talked to Lovie Smith, going over the team with them, he felt they had five NFL-caliber offensive linemen. Talking to Coach Bielema this year, he feels they have five NFL-caliber offensive linemen. So with that offensive line, they could surprise some folks as well. It's a tough division.
Can anybody challenge Ohio State in the East? And they've got a quarterback coming in. I know it didn't make your book because it just happened this week, reclassifying, maybe competing for the starting job. Can anybody challenge Ohio State? Who's the most likely?
I think the two teams that have the best chance of challenging Ohio State are Penn State, which I have as my number one most improved team in the country. Remember last year in the preseason, they were number seven in the AP poll. Then they lost five games. But for a 4-5 team, they actually outgained their opponents by 102 yards per game. That's more like a 7-2 team than a 4-5 team. They're going to be vastly improved and tons of talent throughout. And then Indiana's going to be a dangerous threat with Tom Allen this year as the head man. He's got his best team yet. But I think when you break down Ohio State, and even with the new quarterback they just signed, I think C.J. Stroud probably wins the job. I'm going to go back a couple of years ago. Jake Bentley was ignored his senior season, went to South Carolina directly. He didn't start until about seven games to go in the season. And if things are going good for Ohio State under C.J. Stroud, said the benefit of two spring practices there, then I think he probably hangs on to the job if he wins it at the start of the year like I think he will. And here's a little stat for you guys. I have Ohio State a double-digit favorite in every single game this year. So I don't think anybody really closes the gap this season, with the possible exception of a Wisconsin in the Big Ten title game or even an Iowa in the Big Ten title game.
Mm-hmm. Phil Steele joining us here on the Tuesday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. And let's shift attention over to the West and to Ames. The most ballyhooed team, I think, easily to say, Anticipated in Iowa State football history. 19 starters coming back after the win over Oregon in the bowl game last year. It seemed like every day someone was saying, yep, I'm coming back to try to put the bow on this thing for Matt Campbell and the Cyclones. And can they knock off Oklahoma and be the Big 12 champions?
Well, they knocked them off last year and then nearly beat them in the Big 12 title game. And I'll tell you what, guys. If you would have asked me in 2016 when Matt Campbell took over a team that had won 3-2 and 3 games the previous 3 years, rarely has had success in their history, and said, hey, Matt Campbell's going to turn Iowa State into a national title contender in 6 years, I would have probably laughed. But that's exactly what he's done, an amazing job. And here's the thing with Iowa State. Last year they had an inexperienced offensive line, but by the end of the year, Campbell had formed that into a semifinalist for the Joe Moore Award. This year they've got all 5 starters back on the offensive line, and in fact, Coach Campbell told me it's the deepest offensive line he's had since he's been there, have a chance to be really special. Now let's pair that offensive line with a veteran quarterback like Brock Purdy, with one of the best running backs in the country like Breece Hall, with the top tight end room in the country and Chase Allen and Charlie Kolar, and a dangerous receiver in Xavier Hutchinson. They've got an outstanding offense, and as we know, Iowa State's been led by their defense in recent years. Last year gave up just 21 points per game in this era of offensive football. Practically the entire defense is back, led by linebacker Mike Rose and strong safety Greg Eisworth. They have 9 starters back on the defensive side of the ball. So maybe the Achilles heel for Iowa State might be the special teams, which don't rank in my top 20 or even 40 this year. If they can fix that, yes, they have a shot, and I think the winner of the Big 12 this year makes the playoff, which means if Iowa State can get past Oklahoma in that Big 12 title game, they get there.
How big is that September 11th game in Ames against Iowa? Let's assume for the argument's sake that both are 1-0.
Yeah, I think they both will be 1-0, and it's massive for both teams. Because Iowa State, like I mentioned, is a national title contender. They cannot afford an early loss. And Iowa, they're a team that had struggled out of the gate a little bit in recent years. But I think when you look at Iowa, they're a team that's got some great momentum coming in from last season. The amazing thing to me, Coach Ferentz 4-0 versus Matt Campbell. So we'll see if he can keep that rolling.
Yeah, that's the big thing. And Iowa State got to be pretty much a favorite up and down the schedule for the most part until they get to Oklahoma. Is that the way you see it, or are they an underdog in a game or two?
Yeah, they'll be favored in every single game this season with the exception of November 20th against Oklahoma, where right now they're about an 8-point underdog. But they are favored in every other game. And the early Vegas line right now on that big game, the Iowa-Iowa State game, Iowa State is a 4.5-point home favorite.
Very interesting. And how about the rest of the Big 12? We know about Iowa State and Oklahoma, kind of 1-2 right now. Other than that, I think there's a lot of speculation going back and forth. Is Sarkisian going to turn? Hey, how many times in the 15 years have we asked, is Texas going to turn it around this year? I don't know. People like TCU a little bit with the Iowa native Max Duggan coming in there and taking over for another year. What do you think about the rest of the Big 12?
Yeah, I think the two teams that could throw their hat in the ring, and I do think Oklahoma and Iowa State are clearly the best two teams in the Big 12, one of them would be Texas. And when I talked to Coach Sarkisian and went over the team with him, he likes the talent he inherited. In fact, something I was saying last year before they let go Tom Herman was, hey, this Texas team was 3 plays away from being 10-0. I mean, they fumbled at the goal line against TCU. The Oklahoma game went 4 overtimes, and Iowa State didn't lead against them until 2 minutes were left. So I'm talking to Coach Sarkisian, going over the team with him, and he goes, Phil, I don't see why we can't play this year because we were 3 plays away from being 10-0 last year. And I believe me, that was my thought process completely prior. So I think the big question mark for Texas is going to be quarterback play. Sam Ellinger was something special. Led a lot of late comebacks, and losing him is going to be big. But I like Hudson Card. I like Casey Thompson. And there's a really good supporting cast. And then the other team to watch out for, I think, is TCU. 18 returning starters. You guys talked about Max Duggan. He is a guy that was impressive. Had he been able to start the opener last year, maybe be 100%, maybe that Iowa State game turned out differently. They've got Zach Evans, who was the number one running back out of high school last year, didn't really take over the job until late in the year. I think they've got one of the better running back cores in the country. And then offensive line has got three NFL-caliber guys with Avilia Hayes and Ezzie. And then defensively, they're always solid. Iowa State and TCU are always among the top of the Big 12 in defense. So I think TCU could make some noise. Unfortunately for them, they have to play Oklahoma and Iowa State both on the road this year.
Phil, as you know, the transfer portal is a thing. And while in football it may not be as prolific as basketball, it's one more thing you need to keep track of. Who are some of the more impactful transfers you think this year?
Well, I think there's going to be a ton of impactful transfers. In fact, guys, we didn't go to the press until June 15th this year because the transfer portal had almost died down. And when that happened, we were able to capture all the transfers up until June 15th in the magazine. I think, you know, one big transfer, and probably the last one we added to the magazine, is a former Nebraska quarterback that had transferred to Louisville, and Luke McCaffrey. And I was thinking we weren't going to find a home for him. And then, lo and behold, Coach Blumgren of Rice gives me a call on June the 13th, 2 days before we go to the press. We're frantic. We're trying to get pages out of here to the printer. And he says, Phil, we got Luke McCaffrey coming in. He's going to be our quarterback. And we were able to put that on the Rice page as the quarterback, update the quarterback position, update the offense, update the overall outlook for Rice. So I think a quarterback coming in like that is going to make a big move. How about Apu Ika from Baylor? He's a top-notch defensive lineman that comes in from LSU. I think he's going to make a big-time difference this year. And then they're just loaded. Almost every team has got four or five different transfers on it. So I think we're going to see a lot of big-time transfers this year.
I would agree with that. Are we heading to another Alabama-Clemson finale?
Well, I went against that in the magazine this year. I did pick four of the same old guys for my Final Four, and they all made the cover in the national magazine. Yeah, I went with Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson, and Oklahoma. But I'm actually picking Oklahoma for the national title this year. Let me tell you why. We know under Lincoln Riley they're going to have an explosive offense, and they will this year. With a veteran quarterback, they've had two Heisman winners and a Heisman finalist. Spencer Rattler is my pick to win the Heisman. Kendi Brooks was a two-time 1,000-yard rusher that opted out last year. He's back. They add in Eric Gray from Tennessee. They got my number two set of receivers in the country, number one offensive line, best offense in the country. But when Oklahoma's made the playoff the last three times under Lincoln Riley, they've allowed 54, 45, and 63 points. They haven't had a defense. Well, last year they actually had a better defense than Alabama, only gave up 21.7 points per game. This year they got eight starters back on the defensive side of the ball. My number three D-line, my number nine linebackers, and number three set of defensive backs. They've got my number five defense to go along with that number one offense, and the special teams are solid. I rate them number 22. So I think watch out for Oklahoma this year. I don't only call for them to make the playoff, I call for them to win it all. And keep in mind, everybody this year has got 15, 16, 17 returning starters, but the four teams that made the playoff last year all have 9, 10, or 11 returning starters, and all of them lost their starting quarterback. So if there's ever a year for somebody to bust out of the pack and break up this Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State monopoly, I'm calling for Oklahoma to win their first national title since 2000.
Phil, are you on board with a 12-team playoff?
I've always been a four-team guy. I like the regular seasons, how strong that is, the championship games. I don't want it to become a battle of attrition, and I love the bowls. But we're headed to 12 teams, guys, so why fight it?
Yeah, at least for now. Who knows, in 10, 15 years, we could go to 16, and then it gets a little bit more complicated. I don't know. We'll see.
What? In the FCS, you know how they expanded their playoffs? They had a three-year stretch where the third-place team from the Colonial Division, from a division in the Colonial Conference, I should say, was playing for the national championship. Do you want to see that, or do you want to see the best teams in the championship?
I think you make a very good point right there. Let us know. Let the folks out there know how to pick up a copy of your magazine before we let you go here, Phil, and get ready for the college football season.
Well, I appreciate that, guys. This year, we're exclusively at Barnes & Noble and Books A Million. So if you have a Barnes & Noble or Books A Million right by, make sure you scoop up your copy. Now, they do get sold out quickly. They restock, get sold out. Restock, get sold out. So if you don't find them there, you can go online to philsteele.com. That's STEELE.com. And you can get, actually, the hard copy magazine as well as the digital magazine at a $10 discount. And here's the thing about the digital magazine this year, guys. We're going to be updating it with all the transfers and all the players out for the year, all updated all the way through the start of the football season on the digital magazine. So get them both while you're up there. Go to philsteele.com, Barnes & Noble, or Books A Million.
Indeed. Great stuff right there. And, Phil, always a pleasure, and I look forward to the next time we chat and get ready for that college football season that we know is coming. So that's good news.
Always enjoy talking football with you guys. Really enjoyed it today, guys.
All right. Thank you. Phil Steele joining us here on the Gym Class on KGYM. We will take a short break and come back with more after this.
So then I dropped some garlic and croutons on there, and the rest is salad history. I made the best salad ever, people. And now I'm making the best app. The Caesars Sportsbook app got live in-game betting, parlays, and Caesars rewards. Caesars salad ain't got nothing on my app. Nothing!
Must be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Download the Caesars Sportsbook app. Your app is ready, Emperor.
Update the look of your home and save with new Mastercraft doors from Menards. Choose from our in-stock selection, including pre-finished doors, or design your door for free in-store or on Menards.com with our door designer. Save 11% on all Mastercraft door systems. Get 11% off everything now at Menards. Good through August 7th. Savings are mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
Monday on Barton High, week one of the NFL preseason is coming up for the entire league. What will we learn in these early exhibition games? That's Barton High, 12 o'clock Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Welcome back to the Gym Class. It is 3:51, the last few minutes of today's show. Scott Unash and I recording that interview earlier this week with Phil Steele. I could listen to him all day long talk about college football. I hope you enjoyed that. And once again, if you missed it, it's available on our podcast at KGYMradio.com. The winner of the second to last pair of tickets in our last pair standing promotion for the past 2 weeks is Jeff from Cedar Rapids. Jeff and a guest will be enjoying the Beach Boys with special guest Hanson and John Stamos Tuesday, August 17th. Let us know how you like it, Jeff. It'll be a ball. And make sure and get something on a stick, okay? Scott will rejoin us live on Monday. Tonight he will have Hawkeye Downs Racing out at the track. Good night for that. Also a good night to catch a ball game out at Veterans Memorial Stadium. The Colonels hosting Quad City said this Royals affiliate is among the best in minor league baseball in terms of record. They kind of own the Colonels right now. The Colonels need to win a couple games here because Cedar Rapids is right in the thick of the playoff hunt right now, one game behind Great Lakes for that second playoff position. Games to be played, dog days of August. They're going to test the Colonels, and so will Quad Cities. But good matchup tonight and tomorrow and Sunday. And then the Colonels will embark on a new six-game series next week. One of my great joys, Todd, was coaching and watching my kids in their activities, playing ball, what have you. I go back and I bring it up because I know you're in the thick of this right now, the T-ball seasons. And what great joy it was seeing kids get their feet wet, playing the game of baseball, more funny moments than great plays, I would venture to say. I remember watching my daughter in one game rounding third and halfway home lost her hat. Instead of continuing to home, she went back and got her hat and didn't realize that she didn't really need that hat to cross home plate. But so many great moments, priceless. Look at me. I'm talking about it now, and my daughter has kids. So, Todd, is the season over for Thomas? Are the averages totaled? What's going on?
The season wrapped up. Everybody hit 1,000, and every team finished undefeated. So I think it was a successful yet abbreviated campaign.
But, it's just great fun to see the kids get their feet wet, and who knows if anybody's going to be a really good ball player. It doesn't matter. Again, the funny moments are priceless.
I was at the first practice, and I was at the second to last game, and the neat thing was every single kid on his team was way better at the end than they were on that first practice. Some of them more so than others, but it was just kind of fun over that month and a half span to watch those kids learn and grow.
That's a great point, because I felt the same way when my kids were playing, and some grow at a different rate. And great to see Thomas out there, and I'm glad he had fun, and I'm sure he'll be involved in other activities. And I followed his story, and it's just great moments for you and Andrea that you'll never forget.
Yeah, and a couple of those kids from the T-ball league are actually in the lineup for the Cubs today.
Not too far from the truth, that's for sure. Cubs with a patchwork lineup, now trailing 2-0 against the White Sox, top of the 7th inning. Jose Abreu at the plate with a runner on second base and one out. Lastly, I want to close the show by acknowledging that we're coming up next Tuesday, I believe it is, on the one-year anniversary of the derecho. I know the Gazette is planning a pretty big spread in Sunday's paper commemorating that horrific event. And personally, and I know I think you're in the same boat, Todd, that many people are just now getting recovered, getting the repairs in, but many still aren't. So our thoughts go out to folks out there as well, and I'm sure you share that sentiment, Todd.
Yeah, absolutely, and it's not a date anybody's necessarily looking forward to marking the anniversary of, but hard to believe that it's been a year already.
Twins baseball, the Houston Astros are the opponent tonight, 6:30, with the pregame on 107.5 FM. Prior to that, of course, is the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. What do you got coming up, Todd?
We got Scott Docterman from The Athletic, Love It or Leave It, and another chance to take home those Beach Boys tickets.
Sounds great, and that is the last pair available, so make sure and tune in between 4 and 6. Todd, can't thank you enough for steering this ship today and helping out, and hopefully you have a great show. Thanks for listening today on the Gym Class. We will talk to you on Monday.